see myself the way you see.
I'm not hearing anything.
Thank you.
I'm not hearing anything.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show. Good morning. It's 0900.
Thank you.
We're live in studio, and we're talking about all the things of the week, our the month, our current events in general. I want to hear, of course, your input today. This is always this format is designed and set up so that you, the listening audience, can have a chance to chime in and be a part of the conversations. As always, we want to give a huge shout out to David Mack and his Saturday show that starts at 1 p.m. and that runs until 2 p.m. every Saturday so listen in. David's been around a long time, and David segues into my show on Sunday morning, so I get a chance to not only listen to David on Saturday, but prepare for Sunday morning to make sure I continue to keep you in line. Not keep nobody in line, but of course, make sure that we bring valuable information to you, the listening audience, here on WJNI 106.3. It's the Jay Wright Show. It's 0900. It's time. It's time to have a conversation. It's time to talk about, what's going on. I want to, as always, I want to acknowledge the Women's History Month. And we will have a guest that's on about 9:15. And she is a part of that whole women's and history. So be prepared to listen more from Kim Jackson, the principal at Mount Pleasant Academy. Of course, my sponsors, you'll see them on the Jay Wright Show Facebook page. You can go there and their information is there. You should support them because they support me, allow me to have this platform to bring this to you every Sunday morning. Askew Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, VIP Bistro, Gyrus Place, Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, Check Masters, Check Cashing on Rivers Avenue, and go by there and see them for your financial needs. They can help you. And also, we got a new sponsor, a new supporting sponsor, The Chronicle. The only black press that's still left in Charleston area, The Chronicle. It's been around since the 71. I had a very exciting conversation this week with Mr. Talbot Small, one of the offsprings to those that found that newspaper. And we had a really good conversation. They are now a supporting sponsor. We have to take that publication to another level. We got to raise it up by another 6,000-8,000 subscriptions every monthly, whatever we need to do, but they're now supporting sponsors. I'm really proud to be affiliated with the Chronicle. Great work. All of you, become familiar with them. Go to my Facebook page, get their numbers, call them, become subscribers. Right into the show. I'm seeing a trend. We're seeing a major breakthrough across America, and right here at home, Somerville will remove the mask mandate tomorrow. Are you comfortable with that? And what is that going to look like going forward? Private business, I think, they'll be challenged to enforce this because, of course, they have that right to say that it's serious enough to continue to wear a mask. But I think what will happen with businesses as they attempt to try to enforce that, will they be met with challenges, and should we expect some altercations between business owners and their customers, and what is that going to look like? Just recently in Mount Pleasant, the new school, Lucy Beckham High School, just went virtual this past week because of the spread of the virus. So, we got the freedom to choose to do whatever you want, but be responsible for your decisions, because I don't know that we're not over this yet, but again, the decision is yours. Meghan and Harry, blockbuster interview last Sunday. royal treatment, man. I don't know, given how that treatment was done, are you considering, would you want to be a part of a royal family? And I guess the question I ask you, the listening audience, and the phone number to call in is 843-308-9564. Call in and be a part of the conversation. 843-308-9564. The question I ask you, the listening audience, is why is that royal family so special and a separate private government? You know, why? I mean, there's 25 other royal families that we know nothing about. And why that family? And why is this such a big deal? Is it, did Meghan and Harry, the prince, did they take advantage of a tense racial undertone, environment, and climate to bring out an interview with such as that? That's the question I'm going to ask you, the listening audience. Did that bring out something? What effect did it have on you? What effect did that interview have on you? But more importantly, why that royal family versus the other 24 that exist, that gets no coverage and no media attention, and very hardly do it. I hear anything about them. But you know, moving on. Talking about the racial tension and the undertone. I don't know if you saw where Don Lemon yelled at Tim Scott about comments about never seeing a woke supremacist, white supremacist. You know, Don yelled at him, and that seemed to be an issue. I was brought to my attention yesterday. And then, of course, you know, we cannot go without mentioning Lindsey Graham's comment about farmers and white women. And Lindsey don't have a filter, you know. I mean, kind of like a person that says how he feels, but Lindsey doesn't have a filter. And I think when I look at that and some of the things that he say and the manner in which he says them in, you know, kind of similar to the guy Ron Johnson and his comments about January 6th and how he would have only been afraid if it was Black Lives Matter, Antifa, but he felt he didn't feel threatened, while many of the other Congress women and men felt threatened by what happened on that day. He said he wasn't threatened by it. So those comments, when I think about them, I immediately think of one thing. I think of term limitations and how valuable it is. We often think in America that we don't have we don't live under dictatorship, but I'd like to say, yes, we do. And it's congressmen and women that have been there for 20, 25 years or better. We're living under some form of dictatorship because they've been there and they've enforced these laws, and that's what they do. You know, there's no way that we can continue successfully as a country without giving consideration to term limitations in that area. Now, we know that presidents only can do 2 terms, 8-year minimum. I'm sorry, 8 years max. That's it. So then how do we continue? And should we not look at term limitations? Because when you get too comfortable, you say things that you're not concerned about re-election. You're not concerned about how whether or not your voters are going to support you, because you know you have a base and you know your base supports, you know, some of the things that you say and the rhetoric that comes out of your mouth. So with that being said, how do we make sure that going forward there's some consequences to some of the things that you say and do? And that is by making sure that not only do you have the right to decide whether or not this is your representative, but you also should be able to, you know, not expect that they would say things that just typically would not be in tradition of what's best for all mankind. And that's just the bottom line. You know, term limitations. There's got to be something done about that. You know, we got a president that can only serve 2 terms. And if he can only serve 2 terms, then who is Congress? And who is those folks that we've been in these positions for 25 years? They're dictators. That's what they are. So let's call them for what it is, and then let's maybe look to change. There's a new precedence that's been established, and it's been established in Minneapolis with the same attorney that typically, and we've seen it, we've typically seen Ben Crump get about $6 to $7 million in a lawsuit. Now he's gotten the George Floyd family $27 million. Now, I'm going to talk about that $27 million for a couple reasons. Number one, I'm going to talk about it because he got $27 million for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. That turned into an international protest against former policing at that time. We all know it. There's no question about it. It became international. So is that the reason for the $27 million? 843-308-9564. 843-308-9564. Is that the reason for the $27 million because of the international attention that 8 minutes and 46 seconds got? And my question that I want you to give consideration to as well is, if you live in Minneapolis, don't expect, and you should not expect, to see major roads, bridges, transportation, our major infrastructure projects happen over the next couple years. Excuse me. Over the next couple years, or at least the next couple years, all because those that live in Minneapolis, the taxpayers, just gave one tax-paying family, $27 million for a crime that you, the taxpayer, did not commit. Think about that, right? Now, you're a taxpayer, but you just gave one tax-paying family $27 million for a crime you did not commit. And if you didn't commit that crime, then where should these liabilities fall? Where should they fall back on? There's got to be some discussion on that, because you just paid $27 million for a crime you didn't commit. There are tons of people in Minneapolis that has nothing to do with George Floyd's death. They were not complicit. They did not take part in it. That was not their responsibility. One individual that was sworn to protect and serve did that. But the residents and the citizens of Minneapolis got to pay that $27 million, because that's where the money comes from. It's taxpayers' dollars. So now, whatever money you, Minneapolis, may have gotten for their recovery for COVID-19, some of that money is going to go to that one family. Who should that lawsuit then fall on? Should it be the unions that those guys may be a part of? Should the officer be sued directly for forfeiture of estates and things such as that? I mean, what should happen? Because you're being penalized for his actions. George Floyd case will get international attention. You know, it's just something we can't avoid. But you just paid $27 million. Okay. All right. Think about that. I want you to think about that. Think about what that $27 million can do if you were a resident of Minneapolis and you're a taxpayer and you now got to pay that $27 million. On the line with me this morning is my guest. Good morning, Principal Kim Jackson. How are you this morning? Welcome to the WJNI 106.3, the Jay Rice Show.
Good morning, John. This is Kim, and I am feeling good.
It is a pleasure, ma'am, to have you on with me this morning. I want to say happy Women's History Month. I think you fall in line in all those areas. You are the woman, and then it's History Month. And let's talk about Kim Jackson and the fact that you're the principal at Mount Pleasant Academy, first ever black ever in that role. And you're from you're from Mount Pleasant. So let's talk about how Kim got there, who Kim Jackson is, and then we'll jump right on into some other things. Let's talk about Kim.
All right. Good morning. I've lived in Mount Pleasant my whole life. Grew up on Rimley's Point, and I always knew I was going to be a teacher. I made my friends play school, real people, not the pet, not the stuffed ones. And I knew from the very beginning that I was going to be a teacher. I taught for 18 years in multiple schools in Mount Pleasant. I've been in or served as a leader in almost every elementary school in Mount Pleasant. And I'm now the principal at Mount Pleasant Academy, which was built and founded in 1809.
Wow.
So it's not lost on me that I wouldn't have been a student at that school for many years of its early history.
Well, I tell you, that's 1809 to today, to be the first black to serve as principals at school. That's history, Kim. And so when we honor history this month, that's why I'm huge on the BH 365, Black History 365, because you might get left out of the February acknowledgement. So, you know, we're going to acknowledge you year round. And you know, just to think that you're there and you're doing a fantastic job. And I appreciate you. I really do. How did you get to the principal's office? Let's talk about that.
Well, I started when I left the classroom. My first job was an instructional coach with Charlton County School District, and I served on Wadmalaw and Johns Island at my first instructional coach job, which prepared me for serving teachers. And then following that, I was a lead teacher at Sullivan's Island, which is a leadership role. And then I was assistant principal at James B. Edwards for 2 years. And then I became the principal at Mount Pleasant Academy.
Right.
Oh, and I don't want to leave out that I am a proud product of an HBCU. I left college out, but I did attend South Carolina State University. Go Bulldogs. That's where my undergraduate degree is from. And my graduate degree is from the Citadel.
Well, you got that HBCU in there, and there's a lot of pride in this. Pride in HBCU, and it should be. So we appreciate you. And again, you are part of that BH, Black History, 365 days. Now, mm-hmm. you know, I also wanted to let the listening audience know when I was a little intrigued by you getting a new role as principal. And so I wanted to be a part of your administration for at least just one day, if I did nothing else, one day.
Mm-hmm.
And your very first year as principal, myself and Deslin Price and Tony German, we came out and we was the high five squad. We was welcoming kids back to school, giving them high fives. I thought that went really well. We was excited about it the very first year. So we came back to do it the second year to support you. And I appreciate you for allowing us that opportunity to do that. And I thought it was a great way to bring the kids back and create some strong support around Principal Kim Jackson. What do you hope?
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I think that it's really important for our community to see us and for us to be represented. So it was one of the first things we did to make sure that everybody saw us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was direct support to Kim Jackson. You know, Mount Pleasant Academy was way back in my days, but I wanted to support Principal Jackson. So what do you hope to be your legacy at Mount Pleasant Academy?
I hope that my legacy at Mount Pleasant Academy is a legacy of inclusion and diversity and a strong academic background. I hope that when kids leave Mount Pleasant Academy, they understand the diverse world we live in. They understand how to be a part of that world, how to support their community and the people around them, and that they come out prepared for the next step, for middle school, for high school, that we are growing adults and preparing them for the world that we're going to leave them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's very good because, you know, you're right. They're going to inherit everything that we're doing now. And preparation is going to be good so that they can at least be prepared. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had an issue on that I discussed about civics and social in school. And, you know, I can remember when they took it out and how valuable you think that is as a part of a curriculum in school. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think teaching kids there about their civic duty and how to support the world around them and their community is huge. I don't think that that's something that comes naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we can leave that kind of thing to chance. I think we leave stuff like civic duty and teaching them how to interact with people who are different from them. Mm-hmm. I think we leave those things to chance and assume that as adults, they will figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for schools to be more purposeful in those areas. I think it's important to teach civic duty.
Well, that's good. You know, I asked the question, and what I wanted was I wanted nothing more than to get a response from one of the educators out there that might have been listening, but to have you chime in on that, I just knew when I asked you to be a guest and you agreed, I said, okay, well, I'm going to get that social and civics question to my educator and have her chime in on that. Now,
mm-hmm.
You know, Kim, you obviously will be in the books, in the history. What advice do you have for our youth that's going to look up years later and see this Principal Kim Jackson, first black principal at Mount Pleasant Academy? What advice do you have for our youth that will see your legacy and know what your legacy was?
I think what's the first advice I would give is be authentic and be you. I think that is most important. Don't let people, the world, social media, any of that change who you are. So the first advice I would give is be authentic and be yourself.
Mm.
The other thing I would give is don't be afraid to work hard. Hard work grows who you are. When things are tough, that's when you are growing. So don't avoid the hard stuff, because that's the stuff that grows and changes who you are and grows you into the adult you will be for the rest of your life. And then the other thing is that old saying about treating people the way you would want to be treated. Respect the world and the people around you, because everyone has a story. They're coming with a story, even when they are mean, angry, and upset at you,
mm-hmm.
there's a story behind that, mm-hmm. and you owe them respect in order to try and understand that story.
But strong, passionate from Principal Kim Jackson. It is certainly an honor and a privilege to have the opportunity this morning to have you on my show. You know, I got millions of listeners, and folks need to know who Kim Jackson is. You're doing something great down at Mount Pleasant Academy, and I'm proud of you. And I know the community is proud of you. Of course, Kim and I grew up in the same community back in the days at Reynolds Point, and I delivered a newspaper to her mom for years. In fact, I think her mom might still owe me a couple dollars back from 78 or something.
Look, I'm just less, maybe not that much, maybe 50 cents, a quarter. Newspaper didn't cost that much back then.
Okay, then. Well, Kim, you know, it was you are a product of the community, and that to me I take pride in, and you know, you're an asset, and I appreciate you for all that you're doing, and I look forward to continue to support you and to see great things come out of Mount Pleasant Academy. Any parting word before you leave this morning, Kim?
I want to thank you for calling and inviting me to be on. I as you know, when I answered the phone, I was a little hesitant. But thank you for the opportunity to represent who I am and show that it doesn't matter what neighborhood you come from, who you are shines the brightest. And if you are your authentic self and you work hard, you can do amazing things and things you never, ever thought of.
Absolutely. Kim Jackson, well said, very well said, from the principal. Thank you so much, ma'am, for accepting the invitation to come on the show. We'll do this again. You know, now you done broke out of your comfort level now. So it's going to be easy for me to call you and say, Kim, let's do it again. You're like, okay, let's do it. So thank
It'll
you so much.
It'll be a little easier. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for taking care. Take care the rest of your day, and we'll talk soon.
You too. Have a blessed one.
All right. You heard her. Principal Kim Jackson. I'm extremely proud of her. She's down at Mount Pleasant Academy doing her thing. And that's she have a lot of support from the community at large. They appreciate what she's doing. They have a lot of respect for her. It's hard not to respect her. She's an educator. She's educating our kids, and she's doing some good things. And we need those educators. When my daughter said that she was going to school to be a teacher, I was like, yeah, go. Hope those kids give you a hard time. But we need her. We need Savannah. We need Samira, and we need all those folks that are going to school to be educators too, so that they can follow in the paths of folks like Kim Jackson. You know, I had a just recently, and I think some of my listening audience, you may know him, and I want you to call in because I want your opinion about this as well, because I have mine. There's a young gentleman that's from here. I had never heard of him before until I came back home. Named Charlemagne the God. What a name. That's when I first heard the name, I'm like, Charlemagne the who? But anyway, Charlemagne the God. He's right here from Charleston. He also often talks about it. I think he's a country boy, really, from like Monk's Corner somewhere. But Charlemagne the God was on a show recently, I think the Bill Maher Show, however that's pronounced. And the comment was about reparations. I know that's a very sensitive subject to you, a lot of you. And his comment kind of made me immediately say, I need to invite that young brother on my show. So I sent him an email. And if you know him, and if you're listening, because I know we got these millions of listeners, you know Charlemagne the God, and you know him from the area, call him up. Let him know he's being requested to come on the Jay Rice Show to talk about something that a conversation he was having about reparations. I have some food for thought about that. And I'd like for you, the listening audience, to chime in on it. 843-308-9564 is the number. And my thought is reparations is not new to America. We're familiar with it. We've given it out before. But I don't know, and I want your thoughts on this, I don't know that everybody can handle having $1 million. Because if you give them $1 million, they're going to spend it in 30, 45 days. May not be no investment, no way to continue generation wealth. I am of the opinion that reparation has got to come in another form aside from a dollar, because if it comes in the form of a dollar and everybody get a check, they're going to spend it and nothing. Again, it's just my opinion now. Nothing would really have come from that $1 million. So my form of reparation that I like to see is I like to see reparation in the form of taxes. Tax breaks, things such as that, things that can really, that with substance. But your opinion, I want your opinion on that. Let me go right to the call. I got a guest on. Good morning, Mr. Vince Matthews. Welcome to the Jay Rice Show, WJNI 106.3. Welcome, sir.
Good morning. It's good to be here and hear your conversation as well, always.
Thank you. Thank you. Attorney Vince Matthews, that I have on the line with me. Sir, I got to make sure I let the people know because I got some sponsors, i.e. my sister Netta and Lynette and those guys, and they told me that March was reserved for the Women's History Month. So I wasn't really allowed to have men on. And so, you know, even a former governor, Mark Sanford, I was scheduled to have him on sometime this month, but I had to push him back because my sponsors and the women were saying, no, women only. So, Vince, you and I got to blow this out the water, right?
Yes.
So,
yes, we do.
So, Vince, let's talk about who you are and what you're doing and the role that you play and what my listening audience need to be aware of that's here and exists and how we can move forward. Let's talk about Vince.
Great. You know, it's interesting that I think it's a good segue as you talked about reparations, because I think another place that we need to think about that doesn't get talked about often, and that's in the terms of political power.
Mm-hmm.
And so my background, I'm a public interest lawyer with a focus on public policy, currently the policy director for the South Carolina Progressive Network and the chair of the Political Action Committee for the Charleston branch of the NAACP. And voter suppression, which is a big issue right now, I think people don't understand that gerrymandering and the redistricting process is a form of voter suppression. And when the census is taken every 10 years, that's when we set the rules for what the political lines look like for power. And so it's important that our community engages is because they use that as a way to narrowing our voice. You can't dilute our voice to be heard in the process. And voting is your voice. I like to tie this in for the Women's History Month in the context is because we've seen and understand the power of the black woman vote in the last couple of elections.
Right.
So the timing here and the understanding as we're growing is, it's imperative given what we're seeing happening in our country right now.
Well, you know, Vince, you're right. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because it is very interesting to see the way what can be determined as voter suppression, the way these things are being done. I don't know if is that how we want to elect our elected officials going forward? We want to elect them based on tactics that's being used to suppress votes. Do we want them elected that bad that we want to go as far as to suppress the votes? And where did this come from? Did you think it came from this last administration, or you think this has been something that's been in the works for years?
Well, this is something I don't think that we realize has been in the works since Reconstruction.
Okay.
So what happened is in 1868, when we had a majority black legislature, they enacted what was the Constitution of 1868, which was one of the most progressive state constitutions in the country. And basically says all political power is vested in the people and derived from the people only. It also set up the boundaries and the rules on how redistricting works, how the population is set up for setting the boundaries for who, you know, how you choose your officials. At the end of Reconstruction, which I call deconstruction, when we have the Ben Tillman Constitution, when Tillman came in, the whole point of changing the structure or the rules was because they did not want black people to govern them. So they changed the whole rules.
Mm-hmm.
So the rules that we put in that make it fair were changed. And right now, the rules are always set up by a select few, which is the minority, which is the majority power that's in control. So what we have is the politicians are picking their voters rather than the voters picking their politicians, which undermines democracy. And that's what has to be explained And that's, we have to change the process, because right now there's no state law that governs how this looks like. We're the only state in the nation where there's no law that sets the criteria for redistricting. Right now it's set by the rules in each house of the legislature.
And we're the, South Carolina, we're the only state? Is that what you said?
Correct.
Wow.
Each state has either a constitutional provision or a state law that sets criteria. For example, the thing that I think most people recognize is the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and particularly the issue around Section 5 not being in place, being removed, which is why this redistricting process is so important. So the Voting Rights Act sets forth criteria, standards, because remember, voter suppression is really about suppressing the black vote. That has been the historical basis for it. That's why the act was put in place, to protect those of us who have been experienced a significant history of not being able to come out to the polls to express our voice. And so there's federal standards that must be in place, and the rules recognize them. But those things haven't been codified by public policy in South Carolina. So technically, there's no, well, not technically, in reality, there's no public policy rule. It's just the rules that the elected officials set that govern what it looks like.
Well, you know, Vince, I appreciate having you on, man. We're going to do this again. I'm going to be in touch with you so we can come back and recirculate this, because I think it's important enough that people understand what's going on. And, you know, I think while we're, where we get caught up and get sidetracked on is canceling culture, like statues and things like that, while we're running around doing, you know, nonsense like taking a statue down, like that didn't bother nobody. You know, they're contemplating and setting up issues such as this that don't want people to go to the polls on Sundays. You know, in Cincinnati, where I lived in Ohio for 13 years, souls to the polls was a big deal. That was a big deal. Souls to the polls. Imagine that. Church buses leaving churches, going down to polling locations to vote on Sunday. That was a big deal. Souls to the polls. I haven't seen that here in Charleston since I've been home in almost 8 years. But, you know, that was a big deal. And, you know, they want to cancel those type of things. And that's never good. We got to we also got to hold these big corporations that fund these elected officials responsible as well. So we got work to do, man. And I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I'll be in touch so we can circle back and do this again.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity.
I thank you, Vince. All right. You heard, you got to heard Attorney Vince Matthews. He's in policies. He's working some things here in the state of South Carolina. So we got to, I wanted to make sure I bring him in on Women's History Month, so that we can at least, have a chance to hear from some of the issues that's currently on the table as it relates to voter voting suppression and things that are happening around voting. You know, you would always assume that we would always want to encourage more people to get involved and be a part of the process as it relates to voting. So when these tactics come about and they happen, it's just not good. It's not good for anyone to assume that there needs to be more regulations around voting are than just the ability to have the right to vote. I think there was said that that there was dead people that voted in the last election. Well, one of the things I'd say about that is that there probably was some dead people that voted early and died on the day of the election. So, you know, I don't know. I just don't know where we get those things from. And I don't know how we manage to get caught up in that and look for ways to not have participation in that process. It's just utterly crazy. You know, women were not given the right to vote till 1920. So there's more than just race-related issues as it relates to voting. There's gender-related issues around it as well. So you know, vote. Get out and vote. Prove them wrong. Take your time. Learn what you have to in your prospective cities and your states and your counties, and just get out and vote. Don't matter what they put before you, just get out and vote, participate, because it is your right. It is the most powerful tool you have, and because it's so powerful, that's the only reason why there would be some reason to want to come in and intervene in any of that. So if there's anything I talked about this morning, you know the phone number, 843-308-9564. Load the lines up. Call up. I want to hear your thoughts on some of these issues that I'm talking about this morning. If it's something I did not talk about and you would like for me to talk about, or you want to mention to me or bring to my attention, I want to hear it. I want to hear your thoughts on it. I want to hear your thoughts on Charlemagne the God and the reparations. I want to hear whether or not you and I agree, or maybe you disagree with me as it relates to reparations, and how I believe personally that we could benefit better from taxes, tax breaks, no property tax, no federal tax. Those to me are more tangible than the idea that we can think that somebody's going to give somebody $1 million that they're just going to spend. I want your opinion about that. I also would like to know, what's your thoughts on the $27 million that the Floyd family is going to get on that lawsuit. And in mentioning that, I'd be remiss if I didn't also mention that, this week I heard where Black Lives Matter was getting like $90 million or something was distributed to them. This is what alleged I heard, that there was large sum of money that was issued to Black Lives Matter. Now, in the George Floyd settlement, the $27 million, it was indicated that some of that money would go back to the community for beautification or some other things that some other ways that the money would be spent. Now, I guess my question is, if Black Lives Matter got $90 million, why isn't some of that money going back to Minneapolis, to that community for beautification and for whatever the money to offset the money that would be going to the Floyd family? Why isn't the money from Black Lives Matter going into that community? That's a problem. And we all know it's a problem. We know that the whole idea that an organization is being funded in the name of Black Lives Matter, that's a problem, because now we have to now question the accountability. Just like we want to know where this organization is spending their money and how they're spending it, well, I think we should want to know exactly how they're spending their money as well and where that money is coming back to. If you're a local community organization and you have been advocating for that policy that associated with Black Lives Matter, call up and let me know, how much money did you get? Or did you get any money at all? So we got to be careful. We got to be careful with that, because, now they're $27 million that was going to the Floyd family, some of that is going to go back into the community. I think, I would assume that the protests and all that happened after his death, and the whole Black Lives Matter would be the ones that should be stepping into that community and providing funds and resources. I want your thoughts on that. That's $27 million. And so you, the taxpayer, if you live in Minneapolis, you just paid out that money. That's your money. That money came from taxpayers. So I want your thoughts on that. I want to know what you think. Are you ready for things to get back to normal? Are you ready for the big 4th of July event that the president is proposing? We should be almost back to normal by that day. But are you ready? Are you going to continue to wear your mask? I know it's been said that this flu season has not been a typical flu season because of the mask. So I think wearing a mask pretty cool. I'm thinking about wearing it the rest of my life, for that matter. I mean, if it's going to protect me from germs and disease. And, I think about, can't help but think, Tony and Deslin, when we were giving all those high fives at the school that day, we were probably spreading a whole bunch of germs. So we won't be doing that no more. Principal Jackson, if you're listening, we got to change our strategy, because that won't work anymore. We won't be able to give high fives, call ourselves the high five squad, and welcome the kids back, because we know that the hand spreads a lot of germs, and we learned a lot about that during this pandemic. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on anything I've discussed this morning? Are you ready? Somerville is removing their mandate tomorrow. So what is that going to look like moving forward? If you live in Somerville, are you happy with that? Are you okay with it? It'll be a trickle effect. It's going to happen in Somerville, then it's going to happen in Charleston, it's going to happen in Mount Pleasant, and it's going to be a trickle effect because more and more people are getting vaccinated, and that's a big deal. So as you get vaccinated and we get back to somewhat of some normalcy, will you still be one of those that'll still wear your mask? And what is that vaccination going to lead to? Is that vaccination going to lead to private industries requiring you have a card to enter? Will you need a vaccination card to get on the plane? There's some real issues that'll come out from this. And I think nothing else. We learned a lot about ourselves and society and human behavior during this pandemic. So we cannot say that it was all bad. There were some good, and we have to look at that as well. And, we're seeing it. It's happening right now, today, tomorrow, every day going forward. We'll see that things will kind of gradually seem like it's getting back back to normal. I was out yesterday riding, and people were everywhere. I mean, everywhere. So it's looking a lot like it did, last year before the announcement. I think we were at the 1 year anniversary just the other day of the official announcement of the pandemic. So where are you now with this issue, and how are you going to proceed moving forward? The royal family, I want your thoughts on that. I mean, what did you learn from that Meghan and Harry's interview? Or was it even important? And why is that family important? Is there somebody that we should be even given any consideration to? And, Harry was the one, of course, that brought to light the whole situation around Archie's skin color. That conversation didn't happen to Meghan. That conversation happened with Harry and his one of his family members. So, race was brought into the issue from within the family member to Harry before it was probably brought to Meghan. But, it's just amazing that we have given that royal family so much attention when there's so many others out there that we don't even get a chance to. In fact, I don't even know that we even know who some of the other royal families are. I had to look up myself to see where the other royal families were. So it's not something that we hear about, nor something that we're familiar with. So we don't get that chance to know more about those royal families and those secret and separate private government type lives that they live and who they are. And in fact, again, my question is, what is important about their lives to you and I? Anything about them matters to our daily lives, and does it matter to our daily lives? I want to hear from you. 843-308-9564 is the number. Call up. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your thoughts on anything I've discussed. Do you believe, are you in agreement with term limitations? Sometimes, again, it's an issue that we have to address because we cannot, and I've heard arguments on both sides about this whole term limitations, that we need folks that have experience that's been around for a very long time in those roles because their influence, and they're able to have to have a greater influence because they've been around for a long time. I don't know if that makes sense to me, because I think there's two sides to that. I think you can have a lot of influence because you've been around for a long time, but then I think that influence can be used negatively, or you can do things that's not in the best interest of everybody because now you've been around for so long that you've now starting to look at what's best for me versus what's best for everybody. So I think that's something we should look at. But I want your thoughts on it. Should there be term limitations? Again, the president can only serve two terms. So if the president can only serve two terms, why are we not looking at the rest of our government and our elected officials and those roles as well? I really think we need to really spend some time with that, because we can't say that we don't have dictators. Because if you're in Congress for 25 years, you could be a dictator. At least you could have some dictator type tactics when it comes to what you push for and what you won't push for. Just recently, we got the I saw this week as well that we got the Charleston loophole. That bill is back up, and I think it was approved or something this week. I think that's a good thing. I think here is now the time to get some of those things that might have been on the table for quite some time, get them done. And if it works for you, then it works for everybody, because these are bills that has been around for a while. The Dylann Roof issue has been years and years and years ago, and I think this is when it was initially introduced. So we have to close that. We gotta pay attention to that, and as it moves forward. Have you gotten your $1,400? Are you one of those that are waiting for that $1,400? Are you counting your kids by the heads as $1,400? And if you haven't gotten it, I think it was said that it would come out and be in some people's accounts over the weekend. But if you didn't get it, your stimulus check, and you live in a state where your representatives are Republicans, you probably didn't get your check because they did not vote for it. So if you didn't get your check and you're in a Republican state, you might want to call your elected officials. You might want to call your congressman that did not vote for it. So to find out where your stimulus check is, because that's probably where it's held up at. It's held up at on a vote that they didn't vote for. So and if you're a Republican and you and your representative did not vote for it and you got a stimulus check, I ask that you send it back. Your representative said no. They said no, you cannot get a check. So should you not send it back? I got a caller online. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning, Johnny Wright.
Good morning, Cousin M. How are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for listening.
Yes. Listen, one thing I want to make a comment about, what is his name? Senator Ron Johnson?
Yes.
From Wisconsin, right?
That's right. That's it. Yeah, that's...
Okay.
They elected
First
him.
First of all, he's a fool, okay? to say what he said yesterday or the day before, whenever he said it, mm-hmm. about he would be afraid if it were Black Lives Matter people, but he wouldn't be afraid of the anarchists, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call them, that stormed the Capitol.
Right.
They was looking for him, too. It didn't matter. That's why they told him to take off their pins that they wear, the senators,
right,
and
right.
the representatives. Okay.
Well, you know, I tell you what, Em, I would like your opinion about that, because, I mean, for him to say that and the request was for them to take their pins off, would that mean mm-hmm. he would become comfortable because he can blend right in? He can start making some, you know, say yeah. some really loud stuff and just blend right on in, you know, take his jacket off. And is that why you think he was comfortable, because he had that ability to blend in with the rest of the crowd?
Yes. That's exactly right.
Okay.
And and then the other thing about the reparations, the taxes, that sounds good, because taxes are high, especially depending on where you live.
Right.
And that would be of great help to people, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm. 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 Good. Well, Em, I appreciate it. And, you know, you continue to listen and call in, because – it's always good to hear. to hear your perspective on these issues. And you're right. I think that we could, you know, you got families that are losing their properties to taxes. That's unheard of, and doesn't make sense, right? Because you pay taxes on every day, and so I think taxes could be a huge benefit to sustainability and retaining some of some of our communities. So yes, I'm all for the taxes part of the reparation. But thank you, Emily, for calling in and listening in, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too.
All right, thank
and
you.
I will talk with you later on.
That's
thank
absolutely
you.
Right. Take care.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. You hear Em. Em is a regular caller. Em calls in. Em, like, make sure she get it in because she's listening. And, you know, these issues are, I put them out there for you to do just what Em did and call in and be a part of the conversations because I think what's valuable about this show is this whole call-in platform that gives you an opportunity to be a part of the conversation because, you know, I'm never saying that I know anything, but what I am saying is that if I put it out there and I give you a chance to call in to engage in the conversation, then, you know, that's maybe we'll get somewhere from there. You know, I know that this platform is critically important because, because you can just sit back and just say, well, I don't want to call in. I just want to listen to what's being said. But you do have that option. 843-308-9564 is the number. Call in. Anything I've talked about or something I may not have talked about, I want to hear your thoughts on it. Danny Buncom, that grew up in my neighborhood, told me that we got to bring back something that I think he was famous for. Something back in WPAL days where they'd call in and we'd get a say where you're calling from, and so Danny says, Johnny, you got to bring that back, man. You got to have a Sunday show where people just call in and say where they're calling from and get that audience riled up again. So Danny Buncombe is coming, man, and I'm gonna call you. I owe you a phone call so we can get that set up and so folks can hear your voice again and kind of bring back something that was a big deal in our community so many years ago with the ability to call in and interact in the radio show. So we'll do all we can to get that back. But you do have that right. You have the right to call up. So what do you thought? So what do you think? Are you like Emily? Are you agreeable with what I'm saying as it relates to reparations and taxes? Is that a tool? Is that the tool that I'm hoping my young brother Charlemagne the God, and again, I don't know where he got the name from, is that a tool that brother could maybe in his future interviews can bring about? Because of course he's getting national attention, and if we if he calls up the Jay Rice Show, we can have that conversation, and maybe I can steer him in that direction so we can start talking about that, and then just maybe we might see something tangible come from the whole reparation conversation. When we start talking about something other than the idea that there may be some money given to anybody. And I'm of the belief that we just may be able to get something done when we start talking taxes and not the idea that there will be some dollar value given to somebody because, when you start telling people everybody's going to get money, everybody's on board with that. My sponsors, don't forget, you support them. They support this show. Ask You Paint a Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, VIP Bistro 616 Meeting Street, Gyra's Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market. Call up there today and get your seafood, your crabs and your shrimp. Check Cashing, Check Masters. On Rivers Avenue, go by there and get those checks cashed. I got a check that I'm going to take over there myself tomorrow. And the Chronicle, it is a pleasure to have the Chronicle as a supporting sponsor because the value of the black press is critically important to us. We have to continue to support them and make sure that we bring them up as we come up. Until next Sunday, stay in peace.